The problem is, what do you do when you educate a blue-collar thief? He becomes a white-collar thief. The only thing, giving a thief an education, the only thing that does is enhance his ability to steal. And the world system, as we study it, we know over and over again that fixing the environment doesn't help. For example, what was one of the societies with the greatest literacy rates of all time? Nazi Germany. What was the society with the most PhDs per capita? Nazi Germany. Now, in the Great Depression in the United States of America, check out the crime statistics. Crime actually went down during the Great Depression. If this environmental philosophy was right, crime should have accelerated, and the sociologist I'm getting this from is a guy named James Q. Wilson, who's looked into a lot of these things. And what I'm trying to say is fixing the environment is not the resolution of man's problem. Man does evil because he has a heart that's rebellious against God. How do I know that? Romans 5:12 tells me that. Jeremiah 17:9 tells me that. The human heart is what? Deceitfully wicked. If it's beyond cure, who can understand it? Jesus said in Mark 7, verses 20 through 23, out of men's hearts come theft, murders, adultery, greed, all of these things come from within man and defile a man. Jesus says it's not what goes into a man that corrupts him, it's what comes out. Because all of us have inherited from Adam a wicked heart, have we not? And you can put us in great economic conditions or poor economic conditions, and that wickedness is still going to come out. So what we need, our greatest need as human beings, is a need we really can't see. We need to be transformed from within. How do you get that? Through Christ, who gives us a new what? A new nature, the spiritual birth. So now I have an internal incentive to please God. The Holy Spirit is within me. I learn to reckon dead the deeds of the old nature, and I live according to the deeds of the new nature. That, and only that, is going to stop evil. It's not changing education. It's not changing people's socioeconomic status. It's not changing literacy rates. The world system without the knowledge of the Bible is always looking at the externals. They're not looking at what God says. The problem is the heart and what we have inherited from the first Adam. So let me ask you a question. What time period is going to resolve this issue once and for all? The millennial kingdom. Because when you look at Revelation 20, verses 7 through 9, what do you see happening there? A rebellion. In fact, the rebellion is so profound, those that are in the rebellion are as the sand of the seashore. When you study Zechariah 14, 16 through 18, the rebellion is smoldering because they don't want to go to Jerusalem to worship Jesus. So Jesus has to rule over them with a rod of iron. But at the end of the millennium, Satan, who's not been eradicated yet, he's just been under wraps by God, is let loose out of the abyss. And he's given just one more chance to launch a rebellion. Now talk about it, you know, talk about prison not changing people. Satan's been in prison for 1,000 years. He's not rehabilitated at all. He just comes out and does what he's always done, and he deceives the nations. And the success that he has just blows my mind. He incites a rebellion, and it's almost like the whole planet follows the devil. Now keep in mind that the people in the millennium have been living in a perfect society for 1,000 years. There hasn't been any unmet need. There's been peace in the animal kingdom. In fact, there's no war where the nations have to take their swords and beat them into plowshares. The earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord. A child will be able to stick their hand into the cobra's nest and not be harmed. You've got perfect conditions. And yet, that same old rebellion is right there in man. Now, fortunately, it won't be us that will rebel, because we'll be in resurrected bodies. But the mortals that enter the millennial kingdom and have children, and their children will have children, and the sin nature gets passed on, they will be in rebellion against God. And this is after living in perfection for 1,000 years. See, it's sort of like what happened right after the flood. God cleansed the environment through water. The Nephilim were destroyed. You remember? Noah gets out of the boat along with his three sons. They begin to repopulate the earth, and Noah's in a drunken state. Genesis 8:21 says, "Every inclination of man's heart is continually evil from youth." This is post-flood. The flood fixed the environment. It didn't fix man's heart. And see, God has to show the human race once and for all what the problem is. I mean, I guess He could tell us what the problem is, but we're so slow. We have to have a historical example, because history is what? Pedagogical. So He allows sinful man to live in perfection for 1,000 years and gives them one chance to rebel at the end. Tragically, many of them take it to prove once and for all that man's problem has never been the exterior or the environment. It's been his corrupted nature. Well, why not just teach this lesson at the far right-hand side of the screen during the eternal state? There's no wicked people anymore in the eternal state. There's no wicked people to put into a perfect environment. You only have the opportunity to put wicked people in a perfect environment, a near-perfect environment, in 1,000 years. This is a lesson that can't be learned in the eternal state. It only can be learned in this transitional time period called the millennial kingdom. So back to the questioner in the Bible study, now that I've had about 20 years to think about this, why the doctrine of the millennium? The answer is, number one, God calls our attention to it through the repetition of 1,000 years. Number two, it's the time period where God vindicates His authority over planet Earth. Number three, it's the time period when only certain Old Testament prophecies could be fulfilled. Number four, it's going to fulfill God's purposes for Jerusalem. Number five, it's going to complete His resurrection program. Number six, it demonstrates that only Christ's rule will result in peace. And number seven, it demonstrates once and for all that man's problem is his nature and not his environment. And he's desperately in need of the new birth. And see, this is where social gospel, Christian groups that want to get out there and do humanitarian work only, misses the boat. I'm not against humanitarian work, but it should always be used as a platform to preach the gospel. Because what good does it do to feed someone's stomach for 24 hours if their soul goes into hell? Their real problem is not a lack of food and lack of education and malnourishment. Those things can compound the situation, but they need the gospel through the new birth, and you only can receive that by trusting in the Messiah. So let's not, our doctrine of the millennium is going to rescue us, I think, from social gospel, which is all humanitarian oriented and not the, and in the process avoiding the true gospel. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for the full counsel of the Word of God and this time and special time in history that you have carved out so appropriately to teach us so many things. And help us to not be disparaging and say we're pan-millennialists and it's all going to pan out in the end and have such a casual attitude about this, but help us to really, in this camp, grow in appreciation for these tremendous eschatological truths. Give us reverence for these things. And I thank You for groups like this that want to promote these things and give us opportunities to share it with others. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen.